We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And quickly, Marcus, we'll bring it up. And
Marcus will not prolong the agony.
That'll do it. Knicks will escape with a win as the Rockets' losing streak goes to 14 in a row. Tom Thibodeau, great friends with Stephen Silas and his dad. It was ugly at times. It was a struggle at times. But the Knicks get the victory. They'll take the win and then head to Chicago.
All righty. Why can't it ever be easy? Or just normal? What is it to be a normal team? I don't know. I don't think I've ever watched one. First comment, we suck. Yeah, you know what? Doing today's live stream from a undisclosed location in Long Island. Shout out to my family for not minding. I disrupt some family plans for this. I'm going to say a couple things and then I'm going to get to the super chat. Number one, any comments tonight? I don't care how critical, I don't care who you want to call out. I don't care who you want to bench. I don't care who you want to fire. Any comments are fair game. And that's because it's a good win. I'll talk about the goodness of the win in a minute. I think it was a potentially an important win. I think they may have found something in this win. Lots of stuff to if you want to be happy, if you want to come away from this game happy, that's fine. Lots of stuff to come away happy about. But the Rockets are not an NBA team. Not at all. Like, I haven't watched the Pistons a lot this year. I've paid a little bit of attention to the Pistons. They've won some games recently. They're competitive. The Rockets are in a tier of their own. They're that bad. And they came out tonight, for as bad as the Rockets usually are, they came out tonight as a team that didn't even want to end their losing streak. They came out as a team that just wanted to make their reservations for – I don't know where the fuck they're going in New York City tonight, but you know, they didn't want to come in here and win this game. And that's how badly the Knicks played. To be down, what were they down? 19-13 in the first quarter? In the first quarter. That's a team that if you want to be glass half empty and you want to say they're lost, they whatever, that's fine. I'm not going to tell you not to be that. If you want to take a different view and say, that's a team that's just in the weeds right now, and they're like searching around for answers, and they're so deep into their own heads that they not only are they not finding the answers, but it's affecting their effort, it's affecting their execution, it's affecting their sense of purpose, it's affecting their ability to execute a game plan, it's affecting all of those things. And you want to give them a pass as a team that is, again, finding its way with some new players. And for anybody who was on the halftime Zoom, I think my big takeaway that really crystallized in this game is this isn't as simple as like Randall's playing good or Randall's playing bad or Randall's being selfish or Randall's lacking effort or Randall's wanting his stats to. It's Randall's, for as amazing as he was last year, Randall's job was so simple. It was so simple. It was, this is your team and you're going to go one-on-one whenever anybody covers you one-on-one. And when they put two on the ball, you're going to pass it. And that was their game plan. That was their offense. Simple as that. And this season, they have tried to turn that into something very different and incorporate all kinds of other shit. And I'm not giving Julius Randle a pass. God knows I'm not giving Julius Randle a pass. For as much as I have defended him this year, I'm not giving him a pass completely. But I do get it. And it does make sense logically, to me at least, the fact that things are so off because they took something that was so simple. And then on the other end of the floor, like everybody else that was around Randle, it's like, just defend your ass off. Like, that's your first job. Defend your ass off. Let Randle do what he's got to do on offense and defend your ass off on the other. And now it's guys who, like, that's not usually their role. That's not usually Evan Fournier's role or Kevin Walker's role to defend his ass off. And, you know, RJ's kind of just in his own weird place right now. We'll get to him. But so that's where the defense gets disrupted, and it all gets disrupted. And the only thing that looks good is the bench. And, again, the bench saved their ass tonight. And I'm, of course, probably burying the lead, which is that Alec Burks – there's a reason why I got on here and said 10, 12, 15 times after games last season, give Alec Burks the full mid-level because he's worth it. And he proved to you again tonight, as he has for the last 2 weeks, why he's worth it. Guy gives you everything you could possibly want. He's what a player he is. What a player. And then I also want to give a shout out to two other guys tonight before I get to the Super Chats. And that is Emmanuel Quickley and Nerlens Noel. And actually Mitchell Robinson too, because I thought Mitchell Robinson played a really nice game until he went out. He was trying. He's laboring right now, but he's trying. But Nerlens Noel wasn't perfect. God knows he wasn't perfect. The three fouls in the first half, it let it get to his head, and then the technical and the whole thing. But I thought he made a real impact in the second half. And for him to be able to obviously play the entire rest of the game after getting clocked on the head, I thought the block was massive. I thought the block was a momentum turner. And then Quickley. I mean, when you need a spark, who's your guy? It's Quick. I'm sure we're gonna have some Thibodeau criticism, and that's fine. But I do want to at least note that Tom Thibodeau went with the correct closing unit: Quickley, Burks, Noel, Randle, Fournier. That was the correct closing five. I don't know if that's the correct starting five. We'll get to – I'm sure a lot of the questions and comments tonight are going to be about the starting five. And, again, that's fair. And, you know, I told you, any and all questions, comments, fair game. But that was the correct closing five tonight. Also, you know, Fournier, really nice game. But, really, I mean, Burks, what else he's – I mean, he saved their ass. They don't win this game without Alec Burks, and if they don't win this game, we're all sitting here. And now at least we get to have these conversations about, like – what's the way out and what are the changes that need to be made, you know, from a place of relative, like, okay, at least we could enjoy our wine tonight as opposed to drink our wine to dull the pain. And we have Alec Burks to thank for that. So thank you, Alec. Last thing I want to say before I get to, sorry, one more thing before I get to the Super Chats. I don't want to pretend, like, because, again, there's going to be a lot of comments and a lot of things about, like, what they're not doing right and who's to blame and this, that, and the other thing. And, again, I think that's all fair. But I don't want to sit here and pretend that this is just a fit problem or an execution problem or whatever. Like, I think we're realizing that there is a talent deficiency on this team to the point that I'm not saying that, like, that when Vegas – predicted 21 and a half wins last year, that they were like more right than whoever, like the people that we're talking about this year. But I do think, like, when they got off to the hot start and it were 5-1 and best offense in the league and this and that, and we were like, holy shit, can this team do whatever? Like, we might have been getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Fact remains that this team is still filled with guys that have question marks. RJ Barrett, we know he'll get there. Doesn't mean he's going to get there this year. Kemba Walker, what does he have left? Not sure. Evan Fournier, how does he fit in on the four, as the fourth guy or whatever? Like, not sure. Mitchell Robinson, like, what is Mitchell Robinson with the new week? Like, you know, there's questions, and there's legitimate questions that do have to do with the talent. So I just wanted to point that out because it's something I've been thinking the last few days, and I just wanted to actually verbalize it. I think that's it. Let me pull up Tibbs here as I start to go through the Super Chats. Ryan Hoang with our first comment, as the New York Knicks Twitter account, by the way, just tweets out, got the job done. Yes, you did get the job done. Almost like someone who clocks in late, shows up drunk, trips and falls on his way to complete whatever the task he is assigned to do, but he gets the job done. They got the job done. Ryan Huang, lots to be upset about for sure, but let's celebrate this team led by AB closing and winning. God knows when the next win is going to be. So it's funny. It's like, I'm actually not there. I know they have a hellacious looking trip coming up, but nothing about this. Like, if they lost tonight, that wouldn't surprise me. But by the same token, if they go into Chicago tomorrow and beat Chicago, that wouldn't surprise me either. Because as much as for I just said, you know, I think we need to really grapple with, like, what is this team ceiling? They do show stretches where they're like, oh, wow, this team's a really good team. They still do have the capability to defend at a high level. They do still have the capability to make shots and make big plays. And that's with Randall playing. I really don't think Randall could play any worse. And, again, we'll talk more about Randall. But I'm not like this is the last – this is the high point of the season. Maybe it is the high point of the season. I don't know, but I'm not there yet. Maybe we'll get there soon. I don't know. And these will be famous last words. Robert Cross. What's going on, Robert? I don't want to see the starting five again. I don't blame you. Last year, Elf was trotted out game after game. This year, it is five players that have zero chemistry. Hashtag 53 wins. Robert, I give you so much credit for that hashtag 53 wins that you're sticking it out. If this team wins 53 games, I think I said before early in the season that I would eat a shoe. I would, I'll eat a turtle, hearkening back to our last post game.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let me get to some more comments and then I'll talk about the starting five. D Black, a win is always a win, but sometimes a loss is more than a loss. This could have been more than, oh yeah, I completely agree. If they lost this game, that would have been, again, not that like the issues that we saw that would have led to a loss or like magically gone away with the win, but there's something about if you get a certain L, like I'll say this, if they had gotten the L, I have zero question that it would have spiraled into like something that I don't want to verbalize. But I do think the fact that they got the win, and again, it should be pointed out, yes, Alec Burks, all the flowers to Alec Burks, but I thought they found something there in the fourth between Quickley and Burks and Randall and Noel and Fournier, actually. So, you know, we'll see. This lack of urgency needs to be fixed. I thought they played with urgency in the fourth quarter. I thought the bench obviously played with urgency for the most part. But, yeah, it's a starting five issue. Mao Tao, partially a starting five issue. Man, tough win. Even though Randall did not have his shot, he was still dishing it and rebounding it well. Thanks for the great content. Regards from Israel. Thank you for contributing and for joining and for just for being a part of this. So I'm look, there's going to be people who are going to have some harsh things to say about Julius Randle. And again, I'm not going to sit here and be like, how dare you? He's trying. I'm not saying that to steal from George from the halftime Zoom. I'm not saying he's always trying 100% on defense, although I did think he tried on defense, at the very least towards the end. He does hit the boards when he needs to, despite the fact that they got out-rebounded badly tonight. But he is trying to figure out what the fuck he's supposed to do on this team. And it's not pretty right now. And maybe it does, maybe he doesn't find it. I don't know. But I'll give him credit for trying to find the answer as opposed to just saying, fuck it, I'm going to shoot it every time. Because that's not what he's doing. And you really saw that in the fourth quarter. And by the way, last season we saw Julius Randle try to take over in fourth quarters and it did not work out well. And we all gave him a pass because of what he was doing. But, like, I thought the fourth quarter from him was a really a significant step up. It doesn't look pretty right now. It looks clunky. I'm not sure if it's the best way to go. But Andrew just texted me a comment from the regular chat. How bad were the refs tonight? Someone thought someone was going to get seriously hurt. Yeah, terrible job by the refs. It's not a reason why the Knicks should have potentially lost this game, but terrible job by the refs. Completely agree. Good comment. And now we got Tibbs.
Protection, great decision making, multiple effort guy. So you couldn't ask anything more.
A little fuzzy, so I'm not sure if we're going to stay with him the whole time.
He doesn't give up on plays. He doesn't give in. So that's huge. But I think you can't overlook what Alec did. Five steals, big shot after big shot. Evan had a big game for us. Julius got going, playmaking, and they just got us going. And it wasn't a smooth game. I was concerned about their athleticism going into the game, so pleased that we found a way to win. And, you know, we know we have to get ready for, you know, a tough Chicago team tomorrow.
You said in the past that in the fourth quarter there are times you're trying to figure out what combinations are going to work.
This is Rebecca asking something. I'm sorry, I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. That's normally what you're doing. You're just seeing who's going well and what group is functioning well. So you have to look at it in totality and what does the game need in terms of what they're doing, who they have on the floor, how you match up with them. All those things factor into it.
When you win like this tonight, how much would the game tomorrow go back to that first quarter game?
Yeah, you have to look at the game, fix what you need to fix, prepare yourself. Nothing changes from game to game, day to day. You have to have your routine. You have to know how you prepare for a game. You have to know how you study what transpired in the game you just played. But you have to move on quickly. That's a big part of this league. And so
I'd be fascinated to see if he make. I think Kemba's not going to play, by the way, tomorrow. I'd be shocked if Kemba played tomorrow.
Conference, so we have to be ready. We're going to have to play for 48 minutes.
For multiple reasons.
Alec Burks. You know, like that's, and that's, you know, you guys, he's done that. He's a big shot maker, you know, fourth quarter player. And it gives you versatility. So he can play the point, he can play the two, he can play the three, he can play the four, right? So whatever you need.
Alec Burks at the four, really?
Yeah. Sometimes he's a facilitator. He runs the offense for someone else who has a good matchup, whether he's got a huge IQ.
He's got a huge pair of balls, is what he's got.
And you couldn't ask anything more of somebody. Yeah, I thought our guys really, given the circumstances, I think they've done as well as you could do. So, you know, we had a day off, and then we had a really good practice.
Did not expect that comment.
And then being ready to play, coming in today. I thought they were locked in, did a good job. It's an unusual time, 5 o'clock to start a game. I think they handled that well. I liked a lot of the plays that we made at crucial times, the way we closed the second quarter. The last probably 30 seconds weren't great, but I loved the way the offense moved. And I thought they made the right plays.
Fair.
So when we had penetration and we sprayed the ball out, we had really good decision making there. So just keep getting better. Focus in, put everything you have into each day, and concentrate on the improvement.
Mm. Give him credit for putting lipstick on it.
Yes, just we'll talk to him in the morning, see where he's at. He's been great. So we trust him. The medical people, he's done a lot of stuff, to take care of his body. And if he feels good, he'll go. If he doesn't and he needs a day, we'll give him a day. And say,
I think this was about Kemba.
You trust Kemba.
That's
he knows his body better than anyone. Yeah, we'll see how he is.
But Mitch.
You shot. And that's what we want. You're open, shoot. No, he's going to make shots. We have a lot of confidence in him. He's navigating his way through this. He'll get better and better as we go. But his shot making is huge for us.
I don't know who this was about.
Yeah.
That's enough for right now. I would be shocked if Kemba played tomorrow. I'll say it again. I would be shocked. Utterly shocked. Let's keep going with the Super Chat because we got a lot of good ones, I'm sure. Forgotten NYC, the ball's on Emmanuel Quickly to pull up for three on a 3-on-1. Fast break was wild, but that's why you love Emmanuel Quickly. He's Emmanuel Quickly for a fucking reason, and that's why that guy, again, I'm going to save my comments about what I think maybe they could do with the starting lineup, but it's impossible to ignore how much better the team plays when that dude is in there. For multiple reasons. And you could say, yes, you could say the same thing about Derrick Rose. But I think if there's a guy who I want out there in any situation right now, it's Emmanuel Quickly, which is fucking crazy to say. Matt Harris, 0314. Thank you for your contribution. Super Chat. Why must the Knicks always play down to the level of competition? Well, because they're not very good right now. A beatdown would be nice. That being said, Quickly needs 30 minutes per game, even if no starter. Yeah, look, there are six men who play 30 minutes a game. Derrick Rose played 30 minutes a game almost, last season, more like 20, towards the end of the season. I don't know what has to happen for that to happen on this team. I don't know that that happens this year. Do I think that Quickly is a 30-minute-a-game player? Do I think he's a 25-minute-a-game player at the very least for the rest of his career? Yes. I think in my heart of hearts, I'm starting to think he's a 30-minute-a-game guy who probably – The question is he a starter? Because if you're starting Emmanuel Quickly, basically you're saying, okay, this is our point guard, and we believe we could win games with this guy as our point guard. And that is, boy, that means you – I mean, if you're a starting point guard and you want to be a good team and you're saying this is my starting point guard for my team that I think is good, that basically means that you think you have a top 50 player on your hands, because that's what he's going to be. He's going to be the point guard if he starts. And again, that's why I don't think it's going to happen this year. Like, is Emmanuel Quickly a top 50 player in the NBA? I mean, shit, I don't know. I'm not putting anything past this guy because he's unreal. Okay, let's keep it going. Dan Hidalgo, a strong bench is a beautiful thing, but it's getting harder to justify Quick not in the starting lineup. If you had to bet, does IQ crack the starting lineup this season? I swear I didn't know you were going to ask that question. If I had to bet, I bet that he would at some point, but not as a full-time thing. God. I wrote a week ago that I thought this team could benefit from running the offense through Kemba Walker. And if they were going to keep the starting five the same, I thought if they ran the offense through Kemba Walker, that would be their best bet. And yet, if there's a guy in the rotation, put the centers aside. If there's a guy in the eight-man rotation, non addition, who you're like, this is the guy who should not be in the rotation right now, it's Kemba. So it's like, and I can't that I feel that way despite what I wrote a week ago. So what do you do? You know, but I also don't think Kemba's done. Do I think Kemba would be best served in a bench role? I don't know. I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me either. So what is it? You move quickly into the starting lineup for Fournier? I don't know if I like that. Like, here's the thing. I loved the way Fournier looked in that closing unit with Burks and Quickly giving them a little bit more energy. So then you're like, okay, well, you're going to bench RJ? I'm not going to bench RJ. You know, I don't know what the answer is. Is the answer Quick? I mean, it seems like the way we're going is people want Quickly as the starting point guard. And to bench and to keep Rose coming off the bench, but have Rose play a lot of minutes. And, you know, I guess put Kemba in mothballs and then put Grimes or Deuce McBride into the rotation. And that, you know, and that's not crazy at this point. That's really not crazy. I just don't know if I'm there yet. I'm not there yet. It's been 16 games. I think I might want to give it a little bit more time. I know nobody else wants to give it more time. I think I want to give it more time. Well, famous last words. Brian Benjamin, John Wall asking Kemba to get him on the Knicks. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't have the strength to talk about John Wall tonight. Tyler Michaels, Macri, I see you upgraded the crib. I did not upgrade the crib. This is my brother and sister-in-law's house. Shout out to them for hosting today. They are wonderful hosts out here in Wantagh, New York. Shout out to Wantagh. But it's a very nice basement. I will say that. They got some nice neon lights or something going on back there. Noel was compared to Bill Russell tonight by Clyde, which was cool. A win is a win. Go Knicks. Good comment. No, I thought Noel was a big difference maker. I really liked the way Noel played. Listen, every member of the team last year was important to what they did, including Nerlens Noel, and he showed what they've been missing tonight. So shout out to him. Kevin Danishevsky. Oh, boy. What do we got tonight, Kevin? What's a worse take? RJ not a top five asset, which, by the way, I don't – I think I corrected that on this most recent podcast. I put him number one. Or Grimes over Burks. Well, the RJ – well, RJ, sorry. RJ was the fifth asset. So it's not that he was not a top five asset. He was the fifth ranked asset. RJ not being a top five asset on the Knicks was a worse take than Grimes over Burks. Okay. Let's try that again. Sorry about that, guys. Wi-Fi. We'll be back to normal tomorrow. Okay. I got my – I got the super chats from – the last live stream. So apologies to anybody who didn't get an answer there, but I will answer everything else here and finish up strong, hopefully. So we got a comment from We Here, We Back. Yes, thank you, Jim Perron. Jean-Baptiste Perron. Keith Hillpatrick, super chat comment. Longtime viewer, first time commenter. I'm sorry I couldn't answer your question on the other live stream. Hopefully you hear it on this. Appreciate your work, Macri. Thank you, even though it's not my best night. Ugly game, but I'll take the W. Randall not being able to take its advantage of being guarded one-on-one by Gordon is worrisome, but what are you going to do? Yeah, I think as I was – funny, I was leaving off saying that I think Randall's struggling right now and he's in not a great place and he's not making shots. I am not going to blame him necessarily for how he's playing, for trying to figure out his way. It is worrisome, though, and I think among the takes that'll come out of the Knicks' first 16 games that I don't think are out of bounds are the take that, you know, they have $120 million essentially wrapped up in this guy for the next 4 years. It's not unfair to worry because it's a struggle right now. And so much of what he was able to accomplish that season was based on his ability to just hit tough shots, and he's not hitting tough shots right now. And that's not ideal. And hopefully he can hit tough shots once more. Boston Nick, my main man, Boston, what's going on? How do we become a team solely to live and die by the three? We used to hang our hat on defense when nothing was working, at least crash the boards after. Yeah, I think, again, that's kind of what I said earlier to start the last live stream, which is that they were able to focus purely on defense last year and then just making shots. And this year they're trying to do some other stuff. I don't think it's a bad thing that they take a ton of threes. I think it's a good thing. I think it's good to try to modernize your offense. I think there are times where the threes they take are better than others. I love the threes that they take when it's a Randall, whether it's Randall Burks, Randall Fournier, Randall Kemba, Randall Quickly, really Randall and all four of those guys, two-man games on the perimeter where Randall's setting screens. You might get the ball. He might pass back out where it's like, the guy who's firing away the three is moving, he's jiving, he's this, that, and the other thing. Like, those feel like good threes. Quickly pull-up threes feel like good threes. Rose threes, even though he's been a little bit off recently, like Rose spot-up threes, I think, feel like good threes. Any corner threes feel like good threes. Like, there's a lot of threes that this team takes that I still think feel like good threes, but there are some threes that they take that you don't love. So maybe it has gone a little bit too far in the direction. That's fair. LDS, 5 p.m. tip off, weird drinking schedule, first Super Chat contribution. Thank you, LDS. Lots of criticism of this roster, but Burks was a steal, 100%. Saved our ass. Yeah, he did a lot last season, so this isn't a first-time thing. Max Cyril. Unlike most teams, we go 10-plus deep, and everyone is interchangeable as the season goes along. Injury will take its toll on others. Knicks will benefit like last year. I mean, look, I think despite the fact that they've looked like a team that can't get out of their own way recently, I do think the depth will be enough to get them at least to the play-in game. Yes, the East is very hard. But you know, they need to figure out these systemic issues, and they are systemic issues. I didn't say this explicitly, but I'll say it now. Anyone who was like, don't worry, it's early, this, that, and the other thing. I think there's some, like, it's a little bit more, a little bit deeper than that at this point. And I am worried that they're going to get to the point where we think that they can get. As my daughter plays hide and seek here. Harry, what's going on, Harry? Harry Donor, always like when you comment. My issue is some of the criticism. When it's Atlanta, Boston, Bucks, etc., playing like crap, it's they'll be fine. But when it's the Knicks, it's there's something really wrong. It's a great comment. That's why I love you, Harry. When you have something to say, it's meaningful. I think the difference is that the Knicks don't have that elite player. Unless you want to say that Randall is that elite player. But then again, you know, there are teams out there that have that elite player and they can't get out of their own way. And they suck. And they continue to suck. And the elite player doesn't necessarily help things. I do think in some ways that a Tibbs coach team and a team with, I do think, a real culture. And I'm going to stand by that, what I've been saying for a while. I think the culture is real. Maybe in some ways that's more important than the elite player and the depth to go back to the previous comment by Max. I don't know. But I do think your criticism of the criticism is very fair. It is very fair. So – yeah, good comment, as always. When you comment, you make it count. Okay. Cough, cough, Trailblazers, good comment. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of players. It's a lot of teams that get the benefit of the doubt where the Knicks don't. I'm trying to think if I have any closing thoughts. Again, apologies, everybody, tonight for the confusion with the Wi-Fi issues before. You want to come say hi? No? So you watched the game tonight, right? What did you think? Were you happy with the game? You weren't happy? Why not? The Knicks won. Daddy was jumping around, right?
I want the Knicks to
win.
I want the Knicks to win.
You want the Knicks to win. I also, here, let's tilt down so we can see you a little bit more. You want to sit on Daddy's lap? Oh, goodness gracious. So you want the Knicks to win. The Knicks won tonight, right? So that's a good thing. Do you think the Knicks are going to win tomorrow? You don't think the Knicks are going to win tomorrow? Why? I just don't think you know what you're saying right now. Here, let me add, hold on. We'll get a couple more questions in before we let you go. Do you think Emmanuel Quickley should be starting? No? So you think he's better off the bench? Okay. Do you like his spark that he provides off the bench? Yeah? Okay. That's fair. I do too. You think Julius Randle is going to be okay? You do think Julius Randle is going to be okay. Okay, that's good. Do you think RJ is going to be all right? Is RJ the Knicks' best trade asset? Okay. We're on the same page. Tibbs. Do you think Tibbs has lost the team, or do you think Tibbs is going to be the coach and he's going to still inspire them for the rest of the season?
Still inspire them
for us in the season. I love it. Yes, I agree. I agree that the culture runs deep. Last thing before I let you go, what has been your favorite thing about this Knicks season so far? Is it Daddy jumping around? It's Daddy jumping around. Okay. Well, that's good. Well, you want to stay? Okay, cool.
Ask more questions.
You want to answer more questions?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Hire her, Dolan. Hold on. I think we actually have we have a couple more. We have another comment from the other chat. This one from Junk Heart Athens. Cheers from Greece. Cheers to Greece. Lots of Knicks fans here. Keep up the good work in Seinfeld voice. Alec Burks for mayor. Let's go to Knicks. I like it. All right, we have some Nick on the podium. I'm going to go back to whoever's talking right now. It's Evan Fournier, and then we'll get out of here.
Honestly, we're trying to just have movement, just move the ball from one side to the other. It happens that Jules, you know, he has the ball, you know, because he gets so many rebounds, or he's always on top of the key. So he's the one that that really passes the ball from one side to the other. And he's just my corner. I'm pretty much always there. RJ is on the other corner, so he can get to his left hand. And we're just trying to get to different actions. And, you know, we have to read the situation. Sometimes they're going to go under. Sometimes they're going to be up. And, you know, the pocket pass is going to be open. Sometimes they're going to blitz me. Jules is going to be open. So,
yeah.
Just kind of read it.
I kind of agree with JD here. I'm not sure we need to hear from Fournier. Okay, lots of positive comments about Minnie Mac over there, Scarlett Ray. Shout out to her. I'm going to take a couple more comments from the regular chat just because you guys have been awesome tonight. Apologies again for the technical difficulties. Karim Asur, we need a podcast with her, Andrew. I'm not sure if Scarlett Ray is ready for a podcast, although she does apparently, I'm told, put on my headphones and say, let's go, Nick, hey there, Knicks fans, when she's bored and has nothing to do. So that's great. Fournier throwing shade on the low. Yeah, a little bit. But listen, I'm cool. I like Fournier. I still am a fan of that signing. I'm still a fan of the player. And it was never a Fournier guy either, but I like him. Scarlett Ray on the Knicks, a Blue Wire exclusive, yes. Let's end here. I would not be shocked by anything that happened with this team tomorrow, moving forward. Trades, lineups, anything. Guys blowing up, guys taking a step back. This team remains the most unpredictable, nonsensical, illogical team that I think I've watched as a Knicks fan thus far. In some ways, it makes perfect sense because it's a lot of new guys. But in other ways, you know, it's just weird. I can't put it together. And I'm still hopeful, though. I have not given up hope yet. So we'll see. Hold on, a couple questions here. Forgot NYC. Do you think the Knicks win a championship within 100 years? Within 100 years? Yes, and I'll probably die in year 99. Jason M., I said in the super chat in the last chat, the difference between Mitch and Noel is that Mitch goes through the motions while Noel knows defense is how he feeds his family and keeps the lights on. I think that's not an unfair comment. It does appear at times like Mitch is not – he's not constantly engaged. But, again, you don't know is that because he's been a little banged up, because the first handful of games of the season I thought he was really engaged. But that's really fair. That's really fair. You want more consistency from Mitch. If Mitch had Noel's motor, I think we'd be having a different conversation. I think we'd be talking about a guy who the Knicks already extended. Dominic Milford, I think we often forget about the fact that these guys have lives outside the game. Major changes in Julius Randle's life with a new contract, and we know he spends a lot of time with Caden too. Yeah, I mean, real life stuff. He did just have a kid. We'll see. We got a lot of turtles in the super chat. I see Dominic Milford's comments about Randall's newborn. You never know how it affects you. I know I was a walking zombie when my wife had both my kids, and I don't know how people do it and then lead normal lives in as professional athlete. So it's very fair. I think that is it. Shout out to the camel. We did miss Taj today. I think we're gonna close up shop. Don't forget. Thanks. I'm reading Andrew's comment. Thanks for tuning in. Apologies for the technical difficulties. Back again tomorrow night after the Bulls game. KFS Pod with Jeremy will run Tuesday morning this week. Tuesday morning. No pod on Monday other than the post game live stream in pod form. So Jeremy and me will be at you on Tuesday, and then pretty sure we got a special surprise for you coming on Friday of this week, featuring a very special guest, someone I haven't talked to in a year or two, but excited to chat with him ahead of the Brooklyn game, and I will just leave it at that. All right, everybody, enjoy your Sunday, and I will see you tomorrow night. Peace out.